Good evening, church. I'm a new face for sure for a lot of you, so I have some introductions to make. My name is John Ford, and I've been a member of Harvest since 2018. And Pastor Paul reached out to me and asked if I would take the leap of faith to do this. I have spent the last 12 years as a public educator in the state, and so I have a background in education and being a teacher. And so that's kind of the connection, I guess, if you would have to say, why would Paul ask some random dude to come up and take his place? Now, I'm not trying to take his shoes. I'm not trying to fit into, you know, what he does, because he does it really well. So I want to give thanks and props to him. But about me real quick. There's my family. We've got my beautiful wife, Tanya. She's here today, so you're going to have to say hi to her. And then those are my two boys, Ethan and Eli. They're in the children's department, the children's wing. Eli is 10 and Ethan is 12. We took that picture on the beach, so we like vacations and going and spending time together. We're Indiana fans, in case you're wondering. And then also, I had a picture up here about fishing because I like to do things outdoors. But on the bottom left, you'll see a picture of a teacher. And so my background, like I said, is a teacher. And one of the things that teachers do is we review. We review a lot. And one of the things that I've been kind of thinking about as we go through this process is that pastors don't exactly take the time to review and make sure that things are retention is key, right? Teachers have that process. Teachers, it's drilled into us that we have to assess the student's understanding before we can move on. And in fact, we have to collect data and we have to turn in data and all that type of stuff to make sure that we're doing the things the right way. So what I wanted to do today was to review. I didn't want to go forward. I wanted to go back and I wanted to review. And something has been placed on my heart to bring to you guys, the church, in regards to what Paul has already taught. So before we move on, I just want to say a quick prayer and then we'll read this together and then we'll review. Father, I just want to give this to you. Just a man, your God, and these words are from you. We trust them to be from you. We trust them that they're your seeds. And we trust the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and to saturate those seeds to grow. And whatever happens tonight, God, I pray that it would be a sweet, sweet sound to your ears. And that we would just glorify your name in what we do and say. And as a church, in Jesus' name, amen. So here's the section of Romans 12 that I wanted to go back to, and I wanted to focus on a little section of it, but before, let's just read it together. I beseech you then, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Pastor Paul did a really good job on February 15th of explaining to us the outline of these two verses. He talked about the first 11 chapters being grace, all about grace. By grace you have been saved. It is grace that we can approach the throne room of God. It is grace. The doctrine of grace is in the first 11 chapters. And then Pastor Paul outlined that the Apostle Paul opens us by begging here. He's beseeching us, begging us to do what? What is he begging us to do? To have a proportional response to the grace that the Lord has given us. So the first 11 chapters is all about the grace, and now we have to start with this proportional response, right? That there's this in proportions. Obviously, when something's really high in scale, you have to have the same proportion to that, right? And something is high in scale here, which is grace, and so therefore our proportional response is really high. What is it? Presenting our bodies as a sacrifice, our entire being as a sacrifice. Not part of it, not a little bit of it. That's the proportional response that we have. Pastor Paul also talked about on February 15th, making yourself available to God is your reasonable response. Not your spiritual response, your reasonable response. That word in the Greek means logic or reasonable, right? Some translations do spiritual act of worship, but that's reasonable, right? So it's reasonable to respond to the Lord's grace with your whole self, making yourself available. And then Pastor Paul did a really good job of making sure that it's not just in the sanctuary. I think that's one key that I wanted to make sure that I touched on too, and I reiterated and we reviewed, that this is your whole being, not your church being, not your sanctuary being, not your how you show up on Sunday being, right? Which is key, because if we're going to be the light in the world, then our whole being has to be presented to the Lord, right? Thinking beyond the end of their nose. Pastor Paul kind of had this idea on February 15th about us thinking beyond ourselves, right? And when we think beyond ourselves and think beyond our nose or beyond the pine box, as he called it, then we have a better understanding of that proportional response, that we're willing to give ourselves as a sacrifice. And then he talked about squeezing into culture or being transformed. Metamorphosis is God's idea. Metamorphosis is God's design, not man-made, right? Then he reviewed and he talked about resuming to original position after interruption. And he gave an example, I don't know if you remember, he gave an example of a chair, his grandmother's chair, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. He remembered this chair that he had all these memories growing up in, and then as he got older, he then had it restored, and he paid a whole bunch of money to go and get restored, right? And so this renewing. And then he cited the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10 about taking our thoughts captive, that's part of that renewing process, is taking our thoughts captive. This renewing is key to unlocking the will of God. So if you have questions, if I have questions, and in my past of teaching youth, I would always run into this issue of kids want to know what the will of God is. I don't know. I don't know my next steps. I don't know what you have for me, God. So if you really want to know what the will of God is, Pastor Paul is saying, renew that mind, right? And so this is all things that Pastor Paul talked about on February 15th when he started this chapter. And one driving question that I had leading into this is, how do I live in this world every day without letting it remodel me? Right? That's conforming part, right? So let's move forward. So in the Greek, renewing means renovate. So I'm a home group leader, and one of the conversations that my home group had was renovations. And as soon as you put that word into renovate, or you think of it as a renovation, in my brain it unlocked a lot. So real quick, what are some of the key things that we all anticipate if we're doing a renovation project? It costs more than what we expect. It takes more time than we expect. How many of you have started a project where you are doing some renovation to some house or some building or something, and you get started, and it costs more than what you thought, and it took more time? Anybody been there? Yep, for sure. It's messy and disruptive. Unplanned surprises. My parents, a few years ago, had a flood that happened in their basement, and they had to remodel the entire basement. I can't tell you how many square foot that was, but it was all because their sump pump backed up and they had to remodel. Sometimes renovations happen to us, and that's true about earthly situations. DIY. Lots of people like to DIY in today's world, right? And many people are really good at DIY. That's great. And you can be really good on earthly renovations. But the challenge with that is then we get caught up in our success and our abilities. And then that's dangerous when you approach mind renovations, because from my experience, mind renovations don't happen on my strength. I've got a couple of stories to tell you about DIY. So I have two uncles that grew up, or as I grew up, they owned construction companies. Very good at it, right? One of them lives in Wisconsin. His name's Steve, and he had a son, has a son named Joe. And Joe is not like his dad. His dad, Steve, was a drafter. He was a planner. He was the business owner of his construction company, and he understood that he had to go into every project with a plan. Joe wings it. Joe just jumps in. He has an idea, he jumps in. He's like a fart in a skillet, right? Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, Joe has this big, grand old deck that wraps around his entire house. And Joe and his son decided they were going to remodel the deck without plans. And they are remodeling the deck, and what do you know? It didn't support them, and they fell through the deck. I mean, DIY is great if you follow the procedures and the process. But in this case, my cousin Joe jumped through all of the hoops that he should have, and his dad, Steve, was trying to tell him, you know, you probably should do this, and you probably should take the time to plan, and you probably should make sure that you follow some sort of guidelines. For the sake of time, I'll just kind of keep going. I'll skip my other example, but you kind of get this idea of it's great when DIY works, but what happens when it doesn't? You live in the, with renovations, earthly renovations, you live in the middle of it while it's happening. And daily decisions and commitment. So here's my tough challenge for tonight. Do we bring those same expectations to renovating our minds? Because God's doing the work, do we think that the renovations of the mind isn't the same dirty process that has to go on for renovations of these other buildings? Do we think that God's the one at work, and so all we have to do is trust that God's going to do it, and that we don't have to deal with the circumstances? Kind of like you live in the middle of it while it's happening. So I have some examples of some biblical renovation projects. And I thought it would be kind of helpful to look at the renovations that go on according to Scripture and see how messy it really got for some of these people. So Abraham and Sarah, if you remember this story, in Genesis chapter 1 or 12, they got a call, or there was a calling on their life, and there was a promise that was going to happen, right? Did that happen pretty quick? Nope, they had to wait 25 years before they got that promise. In Genesis 15, there was doubt. Abraham had doubt about this promise. There was Hagar, and they tried to do things their own way, right? There was laughter. They laughed at God's promise. People laughed at God's promise. Isaac was born in Genesis 21. And then Genesis 22, probably my least favorite thing as a dad, what did Abraham, what was he asked to do? Sacrifice his son. So, if you really want to know the renovation that took place, there was long delays, barrenness, family tension, doubt, laughter at God's promise, twice lied about Sarah out of fear, ultimate test, sacrificing his son. Sounds pretty messy. And then Paul writes in Romans 4 that Abraham's faith became righteousness, right? So throughout this entire process of Abraham, somehow the Lord was working in that, and he became righteous according to Romans chapter 4. Then there's Joseph. We love the story of Joseph. I love the story of Joseph, right? As a young boy, he had dreams, right? And he told his brothers the dreams, and then they didn't like him for it, and so they sold him into, they put him in a pit first, and then they sold him into slavery. So betrayal in Genesis 37, falsely accused in Genesis 39. And then he ultimately ends up where? In Egypt, right? and he was second in command for Egypt. And he finally gets an opportunity to see his brothers again. And what was his response? The Lord brought me to this place in order to save you and preserve you, right? So here Joseph went from brutal betrayal by his brothers, loss of freedom and status, falsely accused in prison, no trial, by the way, forgotten 2 extra years, daily temptation, and total loss of control. God stripped pride and built forgiveness in the dungeon for Joseph. And then when he got the opportunity to see his brothers again, there wasn't any harsh feelings. There was only grace. There was only a renovated mind. And then there's David. David was anointed as a teen. And then he spent 10 to 15 years of running, being pursued by Saul. Saul tried to kill him with spear attacks, cave, wilderness, life with a ragtag band, spared Saul's life. He lost his home, wife, friend, Jonathan, fear and loneliness, and in those caves, he wrote a lot of the Psalms that we love, right? We love, and his approach. And in that process, he became a man after God's own heart, right? I think you guys get the point of these stories. I hope you're getting you're picking up the point of these stories. Though I'm not trying to say anything about the God can't change your minds and renovate your mind, but the scriptures tell us, and the way I'm interpreting these stories is that the Lord wants to work with us and not in spite of us. That he wants us to be a part of the renovation process, even though he has the power to snap his fingers and change your mind. But he's not only looking for the outcome. Right? I think that for the sake of time, there's a couple other ones, Paul and Peter there. I love the story of Peter because Peter... What a goofy guy that was all about, you know, figuring out who was the greatest in the kingdom and kind of loud and just kind of had an attitude and all that type of stuff. And I just can't imagine the shame he felt when he denied Christ and he ran away and became a fisherman again. And then to have Christ call him again to follow him. And then that same guy becomes the rock on which Christ builds his church, right? So true renovation is going on in all of these examples. And I love that because the Lord uses circumstances and terrible things in order to renovate people, in order to get to his purposes. So, the honest truth, earthly renovations and mind renovations take time and commitment. They both do, right? The good news is that God is at work. He's faithful to complete the work that he's doing. So Philippians 1:6, God is faithful to complete the work that he started until the day of Christ Jesus. He's faithful, church. You're not doing this. Paul isn't writing us and saying, hey, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and tie your shoes even tighter and go on this journey alone. He is working with you. He is. One of the things that really stood out to me as a teacher, increasingly more, and some of you young students or young people in the room can probably testify to this, that more and more students would always ask me this question, Mr. Ford, that's my last name and kids would call me that obviously, but Mr. Ford, why would we need to learn this? I'm never going to use this in the future. I never need to know this. Why am I bothered by wasting time doing this homework? I don't need this because I'm going to be blah, blah, blah. I can see some people that had the argument with me in the room, right? But I secretly wonder, do we have that same mentality towards renovation of the mind? That God, if I'm not going to use this, and if this isn't in my future, and if this hurts me, then what's the point? Because the students increasingly got this idea that the outcome is more important than the process. And I don't know about you, but that's not true from the God that I have read about in Scripture. I believe that the process is the refinement and the outcome is going to be better, but we have to lean into the process. We can't turn away from the process. See, the thing about the earthly renovations that caught my mind was that all of those renovation projects, if I walk away from it and I don't lean into it, they don't happen. So, my encouragement, or one of the encouragements that I wanted to make for you tonight, that I was trying to bring to you, is lean into those projects, those mind renovations that are going on in your life. Whatever it is that you are facing, that you feel like, Lord, I don't see where you're at, I don't see what you're doing, lean into the project, lean into the renovation. Don't walk away from the project. Because if you abandon that project, just like earthly renovations, you might miss the renovations that is meant to be. Right? So, the next part, I have to tell you this, a very much honest point for me is when I was developing this and I was going to a job interview on Monday, and I remember going into this interview and I remember saying, Lord, your will be done. And I don't know how many of you have asked that prayer, asked that of the Lord. Your will be done. And I remember as I was driving, I remember the Lord really made it clear to me that he asked me, John, are you asking for the result of my will, or are you asking for the process of my will? Because here's the thing. One of my favorite memory verses is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. So I know the promise is the result is going to be great. I want to hurry up and get to that result, God. I really want the end result because I know it's going to be glorious. However, I can't skip ahead and not have that process, right? The Lord's will, maybe the Lord's will is I'm in a season of life right now where I have to go through and learn how to lean into him. And that might be some of you in the room as well. You might be in a season of life where you have nothing else but to lay it before the Lord, like Hezekiah, and Pastor Paul talked to about Hezekiah a few weeks ago. He got these letters and he laid them all before the Lord. So maybe that's you and me. Maybe we have some things that we're just facing that the Lord wants to use those things to renovate our mind. And our response is not to build up. Our response is to demo and pull it down. Right? When you're building back up and you renovate real world and earthly things, the most costly part is usually the materials in the building up. The demo is really easy. But I would venture to say, and probably most of you might agree, that when you're renovating your mind, the demo is the most costly part, where you have to peel back the onions and you have to peel back the layers of the things that are going on in your mind. And it's really important to be okay with that. So, as we've seen in those examples, just some what ifs here. What if Joseph had become bitter in prison and quit trusting the Lord? What if his response was more like what the world tells us to do? What if David had taken revenge on Saul in the cave? What if Peter had stayed in his shame and didn't allow Jesus to restore him? Their mind transformations might be very different. Now, obviously, the Lord's working, and so it's great that we can say that it's going to be different, but the Lord ultimately is sovereign over all those circumstances, and he might have brought those things to fruition, but it would have looked very different. So, if you are in a season of loss, betrayal, hurt, feeling unequipped, don't despise it. Don't try to shortcut. Don't close the door because it feels so uncomfortable. Lean into the renovation. I told you about that story in regards to the prayer, but I'm also going to tell you about my situation here tonight. When Pastor Paul asked me to do this, I immediately thought about saying no, because I felt unequipped, and I felt like I don't have the right background, and I don't have enough of the right things to be able to do this. And I felt very out of place, that to the point I almost said no. But many of you have the Lord open doors in your life. And I want to encourage you, in the same manner that I took the step of faith to say, hey, yes, I'm going to do this, even though I feel unequipped. I feel like I don't have any place being on the same stage as somebody who's polished like Pastor Paul. I don't have all of the right knowledge like people who have a background and a history of Greek and biblical studies. So what am I doing here? There's lots of people in the church, I believe, have the same experience. But I had two responses in that situation. I could close the door, or I could walk through that open door and trust that the Lord is using that to renovate my mind. Right? And I want to encourage some of you, because maybe some of you are in this position where you feel like, hey, the Lord is trying to pursue getting you to reach out to somebody or start a home group or be uncomfortable in some situation with other people. And maybe that's exactly the avenue that the Lord is using to renovate you. And when I say no and you say no, what is it that we're trying to do? Take control of it? Be comfortable? Have convenience? Whatever you can fill in the blank there. Right? So how do you go about doing this? Leaning into the restoration or the renovation of your mind. What are some practical things? As a teacher, one of the things that I always had to do was try to make things practical, right? The most complex things that we had to talk about, we had to make it practical for students to grab a hold of so that they could be successful moving forward with very little encouragement from us. Because obviously, the state standardized testing, we can't answer any questions, right? So first and foremost, Paul, the writer at the very beginning, says, by the mercies of God. That's our motivation. That's our starting point. By the mercies of God, you and I have the ability to present ourselves to the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, we have to sacrifice on the outer courts, and go all through the rituals, and then who was allowed to enter in the holies of holies, the holy of holies? The high priest, right? Right? But by the mercy of God, a sinner, a struggling human being like myself, because of the work of Christ, can actually become a sacrifice to him. By the mercies of God. Number two, by the mercies of God, you and I have a mind that can be renovated in the first place. It is a gift that you and I have the ability to have a mind. I used to say this a lot to students who were struggling to produce anything in school. And I would say, hey, do you know that you have a gift to produce something? And I would draw a little sticky note, a little smiley face on a sticky note. And I'd say, hey, and I'd name it Bob. Hey, Bob, can you write a one-page paper on, I don't know, how Indiana basketball is better than Purdue basketball? And I would ask the student, I would say, hey, how long do you think it would take before Bob would write that paper? And some kids would go, a day. Some kids would say, an hour. Some kids would say, I don't know, a week. And I would look at them and holding back tears, trying to persuade to them that they have been gifted with a mind to create and produce. And when they choose not to, they're not using the gift that they've been given. You and I have been given a mind that we can be renovated in the first place. That is by the mercy of God. So I hope that by the mercies of God that we start on this place where it is our motivation, it is a reason why we have the ability to be renovated at the beginning. And we center around that by the mercies of God. Second thing, name it honestly. Whatever it is that you're still conforming to the world, whatever area the Lord is convicting you of that you're still conforming to the world, name it honestly. Journal it. Write it down. Whatever it is that you have to name it honestly, speak it out in truth. Speak it out in the light. Name it honestly. For me, I struggle with scrolling on my phone too much. And my wife will tell you that is very much true. I sit there and I scroll through my phone too much. And that's a conforming to the world idea, right? Because that's what the world is trying to portray. I spend less time actually doing what the Lord has asked me to do and being involved with the people that the Lord has asked me to be involved with. Three, replace it with truth and invite help. So replace with truth. A huge aspect of when you demo something is obviously you have to replace it with something. Otherwise, it's not going to be there. Anybody who's done renovation projects, you can't just tear things down and then it's good. We got to replace it with something intentional. So replace it with truth. On the bottom left, my awesome sister-in-law sent me this link. It's done by the Worship Initiative. It's a daily worship devotional, and they have a new one every single day. And it's literally people that are singing hymns and songs and the truth of God every single morning. And they have words up there that you can sing it with them. And if you're at all interested, this has radically transformed my mornings to become way more mercy motivated and centered in regards to renovating my mind. So whether it's speaking truth or singing truth or worshiping, that is a great resource for you, and they will send you a reminder every single day. I will also say this. Please understand, I'm not calling you old, but seasoned believers, we need you in this step. We need you in this step. I need you in this step. The kids need you in this step. Replacing it with truth and then inviting people to be a part of you, a part of your renovations. We need older, seasoned, veteran people to walk side by side as youth and as kids and as young people are trying to live their life and they're trying to renovate their mind. Don't be afraid. Please, please, please get involved with others. Because when you try to renovate your mind alone, it's exhausting and you cannot sustain it. Cannot sustain it. Lastly, gratitude. One of the issues that I think happens a lot is that we compare our renovations with somebody else. We look at the great things that are going on with it within, if it's earthly, we look at our housing additions and we see the great renovations that this side of the housing addition goes on. And then we feel like, oh man, we got to keep up with the Joneses over there, right? And then I secretly think that maybe that's part of the issue within the church is that we see some people flourishing and then we go, oh, but I don't feel new, God, and I don't feel like I'm being renovated and I don't feel like I'm doing the same things that they are. So gratitude, instead of comparing your end result or instead of comparing it to somebody else, compare it to yourself yesterday. Because remember, renovations are taking this project and comparing it to its original point. It's not comparing to somebody else. I'm guilty of that. I do that all the time. I compare myself to other people all the time. And I struggle with that big time. So, how do you do this? At the end of the day, Lord, I'm grateful for the changes that have been made. Don't wait until the big change has been made. The small changes are equally as important, right? From Mere Christianity, he cannot bless us unless he has us. When we try to keep within us an area that is our own, we try to keep an area of our life from being transformed by God. I thought that was very fitting to kind of summarize this because transformed by the renovations of your mind. So, if you want to be transformed and you want to renovate your mind, I'm encouraging you, brothers and sisters, to have a process. And these are four steps that the Lord has placed on my heart to kind of share with you in regards to the process. But keep in mind, the process is dirty, it's messy, it's long, it's sacrificial, it's costly. But it's beautiful at the end. Because remember, it's His design to be renovated. It's His idea to be renovated in the first place. For prayer tonight, I want to do a couple things a little differently. We'll pray out loud like we normally do. For a couple of them, but then it was placed on my heart that we could branch off and be in small groups and pray, if that would be okay. To pray for renovations, to pray for each other, to really connect with each other, because it's great and it's important to pray out loud, but I don't know why the Lord placed it on my heart to maybe offer an opportunity for us to activate and get involved with each other around us. Okay, so the first thing, if you haven't seen, Tim Tebow is really the focus of that. I put a picture up there with President Trump because Tim Tebow within the last month went and testified at a hearing with the government. He's trying to push this idea of Renewed Hope Act of 2026, where it's going to produce more, it's going to give more resources and attention to stopping the trafficking that is going on in our world. 89,000 unidentified victims of abuse are going on, and there's not enough resources or attention or people with the guts to stand up and do that. So, does anybody have the faith tonight to pray for the Renewed Hope Act of 2026. Okay, next one. This one's pretty obvious. Iran, both the war that's going on, but faith-based arrests have doubled. It was doubled from 2024 to 2025. The note that I had was it was 254 faith-based arrests, and that was up from 139 in 2024. So there's twofold that we can pray for: the war efforts, we can pay for the believers that are in Iran in that war effort, and also the persecution that they're facing. Does anybody want to pray for that tonight? Thank you. And then closer to home, if you would, and you feel comfortable doing this, if you would turn and maybe close out and pray with people that are around you. If you came with somebody, that's great. You can pray with them. If you're willing to branch out and go pray with somebody different or somebody new, please feel comfortable to do that. But I wanted to give you an opportunity, us an opportunity to practice inviting each other in and praying with each other about renovating our mind and where we're at in regards to just the renovation projects that need to happen. If you don't feel comfortable praying out loud, there's no pressure. If you don't feel comfortable opening up about renovations or things that the Lord has placed on your heart tonight to talk about, we can pray for renovations for politicians in schools, in Hollywood, in sports, in church as a whole. Renovations need to happen in our country. They need to happen in our world. We need to see believers being changed from the inside out and people being changed from the inside out. So we can always pray for those situations. So if you would turn and pray, and then after so many minutes, I'll just kind of close us out in prayer. Okay? Feel free to turn and pray for a few minutes. If you're still praying, that's great. I'm just going to close this out in prayer, and then when you guys wrap up, you guys can go. Father, I just thank you for how responsive this church is. And I thank you that you have led these people into meaningful prayers. And I can just see it on their faces that they engaged. And I'm thankful for that. And I pray that you would empower your people in this church to be true encouragers of renovation, that we would invite and we would lean into the process of renovation, no matter how costly it is, no matter how we have to sacrifice, no matter how much we have to hurt or have to go through some terrible situations, or even if we're on the mountaintop. God, I just pray that we would continue to fall back to your mercies every single day. God, help us to be the people that transform not just our minds and encourage transformation, but we transform the people around us and ultimately the world. And we love you, and we're so grateful for what you've done in our lives and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.